Welcome again to Great Believers Bible Study.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I put this together a few weeks ago, and then got called out of town. And so we're going to go through it now. The reason this is so important, we all have family members, we all have friends, we all have relatives who have the knowledge of Christianity, but do not have a faith that is of saving nature. Okay? And the purpose of this, the way I laid it out, is to take it home, to share it with relatives if you can, share it with anybody who wants to know, who has an inquiry, who has an interest, because unfortunately religion has misguided most of humanity into a false sense of salvation. Because what they have is not a genuine faith, it is an understanding, and it works, and all sorts of things that they're doing in order to try to appease God, in order to try to have their salvation. They don't even understand the faithfulness of Christ. In fact, it's changed in some of the Bibles,
right,
and the importance of that, and how we participate with that through our belief and our faith is totally foreign to them. So that's why this was put together. So let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to study this. We ask you to open up people's hearts who might be seeing this DVD later, or the folks at home that might be seeing this, to really examine themselves and understand what side they're on in position to this. To really understand what being faithful is, and what faith is, and what the faith of Christ is, and being in the body of Christ, and all the things we're going to talk about today, and how important it is that that understanding turn into a faith, not just a head knowledge. Turn into a conviction, not just a head knowledge. We ask you to open our hearts, quiet our hearts, and help us understand this in your name. Amen. What is faith? Faith is a word that is passed around Christianity often too lightly. Do you have faith, brother? Do you have this? I mean, you hear it all the time, okay? It is not a simple concept to define or understand. It involves the deepest of human commitment. Okay? Not just information, not just knowledge. The deepest of human commitment beyond what most religions, not true spirituality, but religions even talk about. First, you must have a knowledge of the truth, and then a personal acceptance of it. Knowing about it is one thing. Accepting it to be fact, accepting it to be your position, accepting it to be while you're in Christ, and letting yourself go there is difficult. To have faith is to believe with such a commitment that one would give up all even life to defend. If somebody said to you, right now, you have a choice. You have going to kill you if you keep that faith in Christ, or you give it up. It'd be a decision we all have to make. I'm ready to go. You know, I'd say, let me pull the trigger. Let's get this done. Because that faith is what my eternity is all about. That faith is what my joy on earth is all about. That faith is what my knowledge of relationship with God is all about. And the joy and the peace I have as an ambassador for Christ. And if you have to take that away from me, and I have to genuinely denounce that, I don't even want to be here anymore. I'm glad to go. Okay? I got plenty of things I want to do without the history. Okay? It is the type of faith that Paul teaches about. And let's look at some verses here. Romans 10. Somebody go 10:9 for me. And Ephesians 2:8-9, which everybody knows. Well, let me hear those.
10:9 is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou. 10:9 is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Okay. Go ahead. Ephesians 2:8-9.
Yeah.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Through faith. That's what we're here to study. What does that mean? For by grace are you saved through faith. Not by grace are you saved through a knowledge. Not by grace are you saved through an understanding. But through faith. And that comes with knowledge. But that faith is very, very important. Okay? And then in the verse 9, he puts in, not of works, but works with any man, lest any man should boast. Modern religion has, if you believe in Jesus, yes, and then you need to do this and this and this. Okay? There is a works component to all religions. Period. That's the nature of it. It's made by man. It's man's focus. It's man's doing. It's man's invention. Faith, but not by works, lest any man should boast. We talked about that. Do we understand it? And more importantly, can we communicate it to others? OK? Okay? That's why I write this stuff down. So you can take this to your families. I have people in my own family that have no clue what this means. And you try to reach them in any way you can. And this is just some information for you to use when you're going to do that. Faith, acceptance, and belief are the cornerstones of our salvation and dispensation of grace. We cannot bring anything other than our faith to God. And He counts this personal commitment and faith as enough to forgive our sins. Not anything more. Now you say that to somebody who's wrapped up in works, and they'll go, oh no, oh no. I got to keep this, I got to do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do that. They're not going to see that. They're not going to understand it. Think about this for a minute. A commitment on our part is in many ways more difficult than in times past. Today there's no action or work that we can give up and nothing tangible to hold. Okay? There's nothing we can say, I did this, therefore God is accepting me. The did is my faith, okay, which is not a physical act, which is not a alms or an offering or some sort of behavior or some sort of activity. It is a faith. It is an acceptance of the finished work of Christ, as we'll get to later. And that's it. If you are adding something to that, and I say this and it's going to upset some people, if you are adding something to that faith, you are not saved. Because you've just negated what that was all about. Mm-hmm. And that's very painful. And there's a lot of people that will start throwing tomatoes at that point. Okay? And I understand that. But if it is by faith, it is not of works. You can't combine the two. Faith is a personal commitment and acceptance. Works is an activity. So if you believe your salvation is based on a faith or knowledge, but I got to do this, but I got to complete this, but I got to make sure I pray this way, but I got to add this to it, I will not see you in heaven.
Dave, I kind of look like this. If I look in the mirror and I look at myself and I see what I see when I look at myself, I see no hope whatsoever.
Okay.
There's no hope there. When I look at Christ, I see all my hope resting in Him and what He's done for me. But these other people, what they're doing, they're going to the mirror and to Christ and back to the mirror and back to Christ and back to the mirror. And they're trying to somehow support what Christ has done for them.
Right.
And that's where they miss it. He's the accomplished of all, and we just have to have trust what He's done for us.
And genuine trust. Just give it up.
Trust.
We got to give it up.
I just want to make a comment about this, and I'll let you respond to it. I would look at a commitment also. I don't believe faith is a commitment at all.
I mean, use the wrong term, but to me it's a total acceptance and placement of your entire being into it.
Well, okay, so anyway, here's what I was going to say.
Sure.
It is that as a commitment, and I do know that believing is that you're to trust Him to rely. So, and hear me, I believe that's like the Holy Spirit. It's like Holy Spirit word. So, in other words, your commitment is Christ. And so, what happens is the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, it produces out of the Word of God. So, faith comes from out of the Word of God. All right. And so, when our faith measures up to the faith of Christ, then we own Christ. And when we believe into Christ. And so, Christ becomes ours. And so, that's the faith. Now, here's the point I was wanting to make. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So that's the focus. All right? And then not of yourselves. So commitment's out of the question.
Okay. Good term. Good way to put it.
Yeah. And it says, it is the gift of God. So in other words, it initiates and comes from, faith comes from God. It comes from Christ Himself. And it comes by the Word of God. And like the Bible talks about, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are entitled to tell people that Christ is our faith. It is not my faith in Christ. It's the other way. It's Christ being formed in me through the Word of God. And it's through the foolishness of preaching. And that's how I got saved, was when I heard the truth. After that, you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of yourself. After that, you believed. We believed in Christ, into that faith. Then we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, no, it's not the commitment. It's the Holy Spirit's work that does the work.
Well, we participate in it.
Right. And now, it's my faith.
Right.
So,
and more importantly, getting back to what Jim was saying to you, both of you, you've stripped out your ego and taken yourself out of the picture totally.
Right. Yeah.
That's very, very difficult for people to do. We all want to feel like we have value, whether we do or not.
Yeah,
which we don't.
You quit reading the verse. You read it earlier. not of works, lest any man should boast. So that defines what a work is. It's something that you boast about that you yourself have done.
Yeah.
If you go with what you said, John 6:29, this is the work of God, right, that you believe on him who he has sent. So the only thing you can do that's not a work is believe.
Right.
Exactly. A belief and a total acceptance of the finished work of Christ, of what he did. Exactly. We'll get to that further in a bit more detail. Every aspect of our relationship to God is on a personal commitment and faith level. We either believe or we do not. Each of us deals directly with God one-on-one privately. It's not a public thing. It is the heart-to-heart relationship and is the highest order of personal commitment. Today, that reflects the highest order of personal commitment that God made toward us. Was he not in Christ reconciling the world? We'll get to those verses in a bit here. It reflects the degree of personal commitment relationship God made with us as well. We often forget that God was in Christ personally redeeming us. He was personally involved in our salvation and was in Christ on the cross. Get people to see that. Because a lot of people go through those verses, they don't connect the dots. They don't realize how much commitment there was on God's part, that he was part of it. The process. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. Somebody go there?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Awful lot of really important things in those three verses as to where we stand. We're new creatures, only possible by being in Christ. It's the only way you're going to get there, because we can't do it on our own. I can't be a new creature. I can't do anything good, no matter what I do. I can do things that will please God. I believe that. But they have no value in terms of my salvation. They have value in me being an ambassador and doing the right thing and helping others to understand my relationship with God. Absolutely. They have nothing to do with my salvation. Absolutely nothing to do with my salvation. And all things are of God. Again, let's take our ego out of it. Let's put it back where it belongs. Stop with your ego. That's religion. Religion says, you're better than these guys. Look at these Baptists. Look at these Catholics. Look at these, you know, Presbyterians. I have to put a division up here because I'm right. And
two medium cappuccinos!
Let's show them what a breakfast with whole grain fiber can do.
I have two cappuccinos, medium macchiato, two espressos, one with double shots.
That's not the coffee talking.
Start your day with Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheat Cereal. It's a delicious way to get the nutrition you want.
Two medium cappuccinos!
Let's show them what a breakfast with whole grain fiber can do.
I have two cappuccinos, medium macchiato, two espressos, one with double shots.
That's not the coffee talking.
Start your day with Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheat Cereal. It's a delicious way to get the nutrition you want.
You know, I realized that this was far more than a simple act on the cross. And committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Our job is to get out and help people also understand how they can get into this. How they can become a member of the body of Christ. We're going to get into the second page or some of the mechanics of that. People, if you ask the average person who is a believer, Baptist, Catholic, or otherwise, how does salvation happen? They go, well, Jesus died on the cross. But how does it happen? How do you become saved? What's going on there? Well, I just am because I believe that. I mean, they really don't understand it, so we're going to get into that. And when you share that with people, they go, oh, I've never seen that before. I never understood why. When they understand how salvation actually happens, become Holy Spirit places the body of Christ, we're going to get to that in a minute. They begin to suddenly realize, again, it has nothing to do with me. Let's take me out of the equation. Let's go where we need to go, which is what the operation of God is, and that we can participate in that. Look very closely at verse 19. God made a very personal commitment to us and demands the same level of commitment from us. I say that to people who are seeking God. God's commitment to us was complete by himself. We have to match that in accepting what he did. It's really hard for them. It's totally different. It makes them think a little bit. This is what faith is all. Accepting and believing that Christ died for your sins, we must let Christ's death be the payment for our sins. Very personal and private decision we make individually. Do you participate in that? Do you accept what God did and participate in it? Or do you try to work your way into it? It's really that simple. But it's also that non-egocentric, which makes it very difficult for some people. Okay.
The other thing I want to make a comment, I know, and it's okay to disagree a little bit, because, I mean, we had that discussion last week. There's no wall of petition, which is fine. So,
okay.
Really, we don't make a decision. Right. So I don't think about this.
It depends on how you want to word it, maybe the term you use.
Yeah.
You make a commitment.
But
you make a...
Well, see, the thing about it is, no, I don't make a commitment.
Well, you let
I don't make
it
a decision.
Right.
It's just a belief on the Lord Jesus Christ and how shall be saved. So when you believe on it, the word on also means in. Believe into Christ. And Christ is the one who does the work.
Well, you allow, okay, you allow it to be your salvation. Let's put it that way. How's that?
Well, here we're all the same.
Sure.
It's not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And so it's the demonstration, again, going back to the Word of God and the Gospel. The Gospel, it is the power of God unto and into salvation. So in other words, we're out of the picture. So it all goes back to, and this is the reason, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Here's where salvation comes from. It comes from out of here. It doesn't come from a decision. It doesn't come from repenting of your sins. It doesn't come from baptism. It doesn't, like you and you're saying it.
Right. It's good to find the right words to connect.
That's right. And we got to do that, because otherwise what happens is they tie into that. Oh, yeah, I made a decision for Jesus. Oh, yeah, I made a commitment to the Lord. And that's the religion. And their heart, the Word of God says this clearly in Psalm 119, their heart is as fat as grease. And those is full of religion and self-works and whatever. And Jesus never came into their fat heart.
So maybe we could say we have made a choice to participate in the finished work of Christ.
Well, my dad always said resting in the finished work of Christ.
Okay.
I like that. Resting in what he's done.
Okay. Yeah. Resting's good.
But you do have a choice whether to trust or not trust.
Right.
That's your free will.
Yeah, you can turn your back on it. But to receive Christ is the faith that Christ comes to us through the Word of God. And then we believe.
Right.
And then it's just
that's the choice you're making at that point, right?
Well, that was not a decision. It was, I saw it and I believed.
Right.
For me. And I got saved.
Sure.
And so the whole works thing is out of the question. I can't take any credit. Oh, I made a decision for Jesus Christ.
Okay. Right.
I decided to follow Jesus. Oh,
or I allowed the finished work of Christ to be a part of my life. I mean, there's still some point you allowed that or accepted it.
I believe it. The word, like, you know, I'm agreeing with Robert on this one. The key word is believe.
Right.
And I think we need to stick, right? There's only one word to describe it. And then that's the belief on the Lord. I think we need to hang in there. Not all these commitments and accept. And I keep hearing this from all these people. And they're all, what's happening is it goes right straight back to works. And after they hear what you say, yeah, and they say, you said the same thing I said, just in a different way.
Well, I think it's a little different when you're saying that regardless of what you do, you have absolutely no value whatsoever. You're trying to get to that level.
And then you come into the light of Christ and you just erase everything you said. Just like when we pick on some of these people and they preach, like Charles Sanders, for example. He preaches a great Gospel message, and at the very end, what's he do?
End. Messes it up.
And screws it all up. And we got to be careful we don't do the same thing. And what we got to do is give that all the glory back to Christ and make sure we're doing that. Because if we don't, they'll hang their hat on that garbage.
Yes, they will. They'll hang their hat on one little
tiny dumb thing.
Sure.
And I really apologize for bringing this up.
Sorry.
I'm being for doing this.
No, it's right. This conversation.
Right.
Because it makes us realize that it is indeed, keeps us focused on the finished work of Christ and nothing more.
That's our focus, right?
But I think what Richard's trying to get to is these people that go around and they say, make your commitment to Christ. We've probably all heard that. That's not the gospel.
No, it's not.
Trying to tell people, make a decision to just follow Jesus. Well, even the hippies. I saw a thing the other day about a hippie preacher from Catherine Coleman. He decided to follow Jesus. Well, he was speaking in tongues and doing all that garbage. He was a hippie. He was a Jesus freak, they call him. He wasn't saved, but he made a commitment to follow Jesus' teaching.
Sure.
So we got to say, right, trust the shed blood. Trust what
trust
Jesus
the finished
did
work.
For
him. Yeah. That's part of the word.
Like you said.
Resting in the finished work.
Yep.
Amen.
And before the focus stays on the gospel, that's the whole point. We get off somehow or other, it gets back on man all the time. It's got to go to the gospel. Point right back there.
That's kind of where our next verse is, too. Another important understanding is that Christ was also faithful in carrying out God's plan of salvation. And that is the cornerstone of it all. You follow me? It's beyond the cornerstone. It's where it all rests. Let's go to Galatians 2:20 and 21.
We're real close there. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
This Dana Stone, you know him too. He's always talking about the faith of Christ, the faith of Christ. And he's always talking about that in verse 16 of Galatians 2. What is the difference between the faith of Christ and then it says in the verse, belief in Christ, or faith in Christ? Can you explain the difference between the faith of Christ and the faith in Christ?
Well, the faith of Christ is Christ being faithful and carrying out what had to be done.
Okay. Right.
Okay, that's what I believe. Totally. Get.
Right.
Completely. That's where our salvation rests.
Okay.
If Christ was not faithful in carrying out, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it wasn't something he looked forward to.
Right.
Okay. But yet he knew it had to be, and he was faithful in carrying that out. It is only in his faithful in carrying that out that I have any opportunity.
Right.
For any kind of
trusting
something.
God the Father and did what he was told.
Told to do.
Yeah. Okay.
And God was in him reconciling the world. So, I mean, it's a really hard thing for us to understand. And not only was he carrying out what had to be done, but God at some point during that process was there also.
Mm-hmm.
And then took that pain with him. And that's what this verse comes in, 20 and 21. Everybody's there? Go ahead and read it for us.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate, 21, right? I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Yep. That's the only way that Christ liveth in me. Okay? Yes.
Yeah. 3 verse 2 also explains how this transpired. It says, this only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Yep. Back again. Yep.
So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
You know, it to me, do not frustrate. I mean, listen to the verse. Do not frustrate the grace of God. Is that not what happens for most people who call themselves, so to speak, Christians?
They frustrate.
You know, frustrated big time. Okay? And if you can get them to see that and understand that, you're starting to crack open where they might be able to accept by faith the finished work of Christ, you know, and find themselves there. Accept or rest in, or whatever you want to call it. Okay? I don't know the right term, but that's the feel. You can't get them to go there if they keep their ego at all. And if you get them to say, do not frustrate the grace of God. It doesn't matter what you do. It has no value. That's really hard for people to understand. I can say, look, it has value in the world. Being nice to the people, helping them out, giving them things to the poor, cutting someone's lawn. Those are all wonderful things. But God has only one condition. Do you rest in the finished work of Christ? Period. Put your ego out of the picture. You can do wonderful things. But it's not as far as God's concerned. I'm going to get into that in a minute, how the mechanics of salvation happens. That helps them a bit too. I have written down those clips of verse 20 says, live by the faith of the Son of God. Some of the Bibles actually change that faith in the Son of God. Translations change that whole word. But if they do, they're taking out the core of the whole entire salvation. Think about that. Again, religion, God, sake, the whole bit. Okay? Let's change those verses so people never see it. So they don't read it that way, they read it differently. Christ was faithful now in going to the cross. We follow the same personal level of commitment. When we understand this relationship, accept into it, we become powerful, motivated for our service for God. When you fully understand that you have no value in this, that it is the finished work of God, and that you have, and your ego is out of the picture, you now can actually go out and do things for the right motivation.
Well, I want to make a comment here, too. Right in this point for the lady now. She says, well, I heard what you say, but they say this over here. I said, well, they're using a different Bible. Then you go right back to what is really the Word of God. Those things that they have are not Bibles.
And I mean, no, they are Bibles. Bible means book. They're just not a holy Bible.
They're not inspired.
Not
this
set
is
apart.
The only inspired Bible that we have.
Amen.
In the English language. And it is inspired. And I know that for a fact. The biggest problem is getting them to look at the right source and to believe the right source. If they and they said, well, they got that Bible and they got that Bible and they don't know. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm glad. I'm just really thankful. God showed me that this was the book. I mean, this is the book. That is not the book. And I wish I could just slam them over the head with it. Because, you know, but it's keeping them from, you know, it's unfortunate.
It's keeping them from.
And these people that are in religion, they're saying you got to do this stuff. are following after those books. And by the way, I personally believe that's Lucifer.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's Satan.
Absolutely.
And
if it is not of God, it is of the world.
And here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it really clearly. If they choose to say it's their faith, and it's because I believe on Jesus or something like that, they've got a devil. I mean, and if they invited Jesus in their heart, that thing's a snake.
Yep.
And because I wrestle with these things on a constant basis. Now, you know, the Bible talks about we take up serpents and don't harm them. I take up serpents every day. I'm talking to devils on a constant basis. And we wrestle over it. And when it comes right down to it, we start fighting over it. Hey, this is the book.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to face that this
well,
is the
it's
truth.
It's the last excuse to not be.
Right. And so they'll follow those stupid religious teachers that are following Satan's book. And by the way, it is Satan's book. It comes from the bitter, comes straight out of the Catholic Church, and they're ruled by Satan. So we wrestle not against.
We believe the finished work of Christ. When the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, we cannot get there any other way. Okay? However, words you want to use, you cannot get yourself there. Let's look at some verses here. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. And you get to understand this because then they realize that it is the finished work of Christ. Christ was on the cross. Christ reconciled the world. I got to be the body of Christ. And they begin to start connecting the dots. Okay? And that's really important because then they realize it isn't me. It is all them. It is all Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14.
For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into the Spirit.
It sure doesn't sound like anything we did.
For the body is not one member, but many.
What do you mean? It comes to what? What's your thoughts? Are we not baptized into the body of Christ? I believe that. I believe that's how we end up having salvation. Because without that, there is no salvation. Because we're sinful. We got to be in the body of Christ, who is what? Sinless. To get there.
You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's your baptism.
Yep. That's it. Right there. It's sealed.
People don't understand that our baptism is spiritual.
Right. And it's the mechanism. You have to explain that to them. When I accept the finished work of Christ, I end up being put into that body, which, guess what, has already been crucified and reconciled the world. The only way I could stand in front of God and be perfect is to be in that finished work. I could not get there any other way. So the mechanics, for lack of a better term, I don't know a better term to use, we get placed into that body by the Holy Spirit, and that's where we stand, that's where God sees me now, that's why when I stand before God, He will say, hey, Dave, welcome home. Yes.
I want to say one other thing, too, but you know, I've talked to, you know, like, for example, Assembly of God people, Nazarene people, and you get them so, yeah, I believe all of that stuff. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe in very good. I believe all that stuff. I believe I'm justified by it. But I don't believe that once saved, always saved. I don't.
But you're never trusted in God.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And so they're not sealed. If they have not, in other words, they have not been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And I was telling a person the other day, I said, by the very definition of the word salvation, means to be preserved. Now, if you don't believe that, you're lost.
But they'll turn the serpent on you then. So yeah. If you don't believe that, you're the devil. You don't believe.
And then we'll
later. Yeah, you become the bad guy.
Yeah.
Just to the deliverer of the good news.
And again, it's all about ego and religion.
Yeah.
If I'm not sealed, I have a chance of sliding. I got to do this and this and this to keep everybody happy and meet the regulations.
Those people right there never, ever believe. When we write up all sins, they don't believe that.
Well, you know what? I'm reminded of a verse scripture that says that the way of a serpent on a rock. You put some of these religious people on Jesus and they swarm like you wouldn't believe. And they're trying to get off that rock as fast as they can.
Right.
And it's just,
And they try to get off of it because they were taught, again, it's all ego again, it's all driven by their own personal, they were taught this, and I'm right, you're wrong, and therefore, I can't even open my eyes and discuss things.
Yeah, from that time on, they just start finding fault.
And all you can do is look at them and love them, period.
Yeah.
Nothing more you can do. But you know, every time we do that, those are seeds that are put out. And years and years, and sometimes years and years later, things start to make sense for them, and they go, I remember that Richard guy. Wow, that was interesting. You're right. You know, You never know. Okay? You never know what acts of kindness, sharing of your faith, or anything can do. We never know. We may see it someday. We may never see it. I don't know. But the point is, that's what our job is. Our job is to do what we can. Offer the opportunities to understand. Share the love of Christ. Share the love of Christ. That's the key. Because when you share the love of Christ, people respond to you in a positive way also. Even if they're not happy with you. Even if they're angry with you. Even if you share the love of Christ. Over time, that overcomes a lot.
But you know, I will tell you something. When you're presenting that, like you said, and they get angry with you, the key you've got to remember, and sometimes you don't, that you don't need to get angry back.
Right. Yeah.
Because that just blows your testimony right there.
Yeah.
Of course, how humble you are and those kind of things. Yeah, you know, they can get angry with you. You just take it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that goes for family members.
Oh, yeah.
That's even harder.
Yeah. My dad was very good at not getting angry, and he saw when people got angry, he would just say, okay, we'll see, it's your judgment then. They kind of would leave it there.
But even that's a little, even that's
that
a little stick in the back of the knife. Okay.
Yeah, but it made them think when they left.
Yeah, I mean, when somebody disagrees with me totally, I mean, it doesn't happen a lot because I kind of go in their soft cell and see what happens, okay? But I've had a few of those. I'm just like, hey, I'd love to share it with you. If you want to know sometime, I'm here and let's talk. That's it. That's kind of where I'm leaving. Because I don't want to get it. You can't pound them. Okay?
Yeah.
But I had people, after a couple of years ago, they talked about this, especially a friend of mine who's in charge of a huge religious organization here in Pensacola, a missionary group of, you know, hundreds of missionaries. She's the president of the whole thing. And I used to be people in the car with me, and we started talking faith, and we get into some great discussion. And he was always like, I can't believe it. You know, on and on we go, because he was all about sort of charismatic, but yet he was also, thought the charismatic's faiths were crazy, and yet a lot of his preachers were charismatic. He was crazy, he was in this mixed bag and stuff. And it might have been 4 or 5 years after we talked many times, he finally said to me, I'm beginning to see what you're talking about. I'm beginning to see a little piece. We talk a little more. Yeah, so I'm not sure where that now.
Yeah, we want to have it now. Yeah.
You know, exactly. Of course we do. Because we really want these people to be saved. We don't want them to spend eternity gone. You know, when I was 25, I thought I had all the time in the world. Oh, yeah, okay. Now I'm like 74. You know what I mean? Things are... Time is getting smaller.
It is.
And you know, and you want to make sure the people you know and the people you care about understand. I have two kids that understand grace, I think. Okay? They've been to Grace Church. They understand their relationship with God, I think. I'm not sure. I just sold my house. I'm going to buy one, I think, on the west side of town, so I'm going to be closer to them. So I can spend a little time. You know, those things are important as you get older. When you're 21, you always think about it. It's like, ah, yeah, forever. Even when I was 40, yeah, forever. That passed by.
That's that song that Bob does, I've Got Plenty of Time.
Yeah. You know, then Ephesians chapter 4, another thing about being hope, being sealed by the body. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. About being in the body.
There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
In you all. Okay, that's how we're in the body of Christ. Get them to see that. Get them to see the mechanism of salvation, that unless you're in the body of Christ, placed there by the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're not perfect. And if you're in the body of Christ, you are perfect. Period. There's no black and white. There's an A and a B here. That's it. There's no midpoint. There's no great scale in the area here. When we are baptized, we're placed in the body of Christ, we benefit. This is what you got to get to see. We benefit from the payment that the body has already undergone. That's why we participate in the faithfulness of Christ, carried it out. We participate in it. We stand in Christ as a purified spirit, seen by God and Christ perfected. If we are not placed in the body of Christ, we would not benefit from the redemption it offers. When people can understand, oh, that's how salvation actually takes place, then they're pulling themselves out of their ego and their works. You can take them further into understanding it's all about what God did, not what they did. Okay? Again, our belief places us a little further down in the body, we transform, stand sinless. The Holy Spirit that places us in the body of Christ plays an important role in our salvation. This is why we believe, why all who believe are given the Holy Spirit the moment we believe. That's the benefit of it. That's one of the purposes of it. It's an important element in the mechanism of salvation. It is also important in our redemption and our sealing. Okay, so let's take a look at Ephesians 1:13-14. One of Jim's favorites.
In whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and then also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen. There you go. Continue on, somebody with you, verse 14, if you would. And then Paul explains it here so they understand it better. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. His glory. And he explains it so that in terms they understood. Oh, it's like a down payment. Got it. Okay. He explains what it is. Okay. Right. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom afterwards you believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Can't lose it. It is wonderful. Because you know what? None of us deserve it. Okay? And if we had to do anything to continue with that, we'd be in a world of hurt. Right. That's where religion is today. In a world of hurt full of ego and control. That's where they want to be. That's how you control people. That's how you get their money. Religion is a business, folks. It's a big business.
A racket,
whatever you want to call it. That's exactly what it is. Right. And it's a very sad place to be. Ephesians 4:30. Somebody read that for me. And again, this goes back to do not frustrate the grace of God. What does this one say?
Grieve not, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are saved, sealed, to the day of redemption.
You know, how many times do they have to be told this to get it? Don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't grieve the Spirit. Give up religion. Period.
You know, that's one of the things that they have a hard time with. They say, sealed unto the day of redemption. They say, well, that's when you get saved there.
Yeah. Well, they'll come up with all sorts of reasons to connect the dots.
Yeah.
But they have to connect the dots. And that's where, this is a good point, very good point. That's where the angst of Christianity is. If you can get people to be honest who are confused in religion, there is an angst in their souls all the time. They never have the peace that passes all understanding. It does not exist for them. They're always, oh, I love Jesus, I love God, I love God.
Yeah, sure.
There's an angst in their soul, okay? And sometimes I've talked to people that said, you're a very religious person. Now be honest with yourself for a minute. Be honest with me. Are you at peace in your soul, or is there a little angst going on because you're just not sure? They may not admit to that, but they'll think about it, and they'll start eating that. I'd say, look, I'm not talking about anything other than having the salvation that will eliminate that angst. Having the understanding and the placement in Christ that will eliminate that angst. You want to be at peace with your Creator? I use that term all the time when people say to me, especially in the film business. You know, the film business is notorious for all sorts of crazy folks. Right? It really is. It's a crazy industry. And it's a very rock and roll industry. We got to go, go, go. It's fun. And they get down and they say, I love working with you and your people because you guys are positive. You're upbeat. And I always say, I'm at peace with my Creator. And that's where it starts. That's the line I use all the time. Because it makes people stop for a minute and go, yeah, he's either religious, so tell me more, or what. I have a new client right now, Bush Hawk, the guy's in the cutting business. One of their employees is a very spiritual guy. I spent as much time on the road with him. I just gave him a copy of my book. We're kind of fellowshipping. I would be able to share some stuff with him. It's kind of fun.
You know, what's really interesting is that this happened probably 10 years ago, maybe longer.
But you're only 29.
Yeah. But, you know, I was witness to this man that was dying, and he was a Southern Baptist, and he was a deacon of Southern Baptist. He was a deacon for a long time, and he said to me, I don't.
He said, if my salvation were based upon what I would do, I would doubt it every day. But he said, because it's what Jesus did, I can't doubt it, because to doubt it would be to doubt that Jesus died on the cross.
That's exactly it.
So that was a good quote.
It says it all.
Yeah.
Now, if you live there, that's what you can ask people. Do you have the peace that passes all understanding? Can you get up every day, regardless of what happened the day before, regardless of what you're going to do today, regardless of how mad you got at your uncle last night, if you're regardless of fighting with your wife or husband or whatever, still know you're at peace with God?
Even if you did doubt, and you don't, but I'm saying even if a person doubts their salvation,
right. Then
God cannot deny you. You can deny him all you want.
Yeah.
You can convert into Islam.
Yeah, I can lose
and
my mind.
Not, yes. Right. That's why when people got Alzheimer's and so forth, they don't know who Jesus Christ is or what he did for them. Yeah. He cannot deny you in any form or fashion.
He can't deny himself.
Yeah. So let's connect another guy. Ephesians 1:3 real quickly here.
But the point I want to make is You know, I don't want to use that scapegoat for somebody to say, oh, well, I can doubt my salvation.
No, I got you.
I hear what you're trying to say. Yeah, there's exceptions to the rule.
Ephesians 1:3. Let me read that. This will help people who are wrapped up in, again, works.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, folks, do you do things in the world to get blessed by God, or are you already blessed and therefore do things back to the world? Where's your motivation? What's your direction? Okay? Most of religion, again, is, I better do this and this and this, and God will bless me financially. My house will sell. Praise the Lord, my house will. Okay, great. It sold for the price I asked for. I still have money. I thought I got rid of the house. Okay? That wasn't because I lived godly. Thank God it wasn't because of that. It was, you know, the whole point is, God's already blessed us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is it not a blessing to have eternal salvation? Is it not a blessing to have peace with God? Is it not a blessing to be sealed with the Holy Spirit? And no matter what happens to me for the rest of my life, physically, mentally, or otherwise, I'm there. That's really good news. That's beyond my comprehension good news. Okay? That's where we're at. That's what we need to get people to see. We're not about performing to get this or have gospel prosperity or all the other things that religion teaches. It's about what God has already done for you. The position I am in now. Therefore, what can I do for the world? How can I help people see that, okay? Paul writes, half blessings in the past tense. Once you're saved, all spiritual blessings, these are automatic benefits of our salvation. We have them in the moment we believe, etc., okay? It's important to understand today the dispensation of grace of sins are literally eliminated from ever happening. There's some verses here, we'll read about that real quickly. Propitiation means as if it didn't exist in the Greek term. At least that's what I've been told to me. Romans 3:25, whom God said has set to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that have passed through the forbearance of God. Amen. Okay? Done. Not keep doing. Not work to do some more.
Finish.
Even in John it says, and he is a propitiation of sins, not of only ours, but also the sins of the whole world. This way you say, look, Christ's redemption of the world has already been done. That was a great thing you brought up a few weeks ago. Finally clicked with me. Ding, after being here and after being in Christ's messages for a million years, you know, Christ got it done. Do you participate in that? That's your choice. But the world has been reconciled. The opportunity for the world has been reconciled that was finished on the cross, period. Now you participate in it, okay? Here in his love, that we love God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you have trusted, after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also, after you believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And grieve not again the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby we are sealed on the day of redemption. That's where we stand. That's what being in Christ is all about. That is the finished work of Christ that we participate in, whether we rest in it or whatever you want to word, however you get there, you've got to be in that and you've got to put that into your soul. That has to be your only.
You're going to do part two next week?
No, I have, but I could have planned
it. Yeah, you need to do part two next week. You're taking up all your time.
No problem.
But
the whole purpose of this, guys, is to give you something, a tool, all right? A tool that you can share with others. That's why I always do these, all right? Keep on having, because it's going to be an opportunity when some cousin or some relative or some son or daughter is going to say, you know what, I hear about this faith all the time, but what does it mean? Explain to me more, or whatever. Whatever the case may be. And you just say to them, look at you, want to really go through it, I'll pull this paper out, some things we talked about, we'll share, we'll talk about it, let's take a look. And that's when somebody goes, yeah. Then you got to be prepared. Then it's like, oh, I've got to use my brain, and I'm not sure where my brain's at. All right, pull out this little paper. It may not be perfect, because it is. There's a lot of stuff in it that you can fine-tune more, sure. But it'll give you a starting point. And that's what it's all about, to be able to share.
What I wanted to say is, make all men see, and what is the fellowship of the ministry?
Mystery.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. And that's what this is. That's what this is all about, is the fellowship. In other words, you're in the ship with Jesus. And we're sharing this one with another. Who cares about this piece of paper? It's the fellowship is what's really important. And we're having fellowship. And us talking back and forth like this, that to me is the most beautiful thing on the planet. That's what this church is all about.
So you're not going to find this anywhere.
No. You see that little thing that's right there? It says grace believers. And that's the reason why I'm here. I'm a grace believer. And I believe into the grace of God.
Okay. And you do not frustrate the grace of God. You let them do it. You know?
what we're talking about, and that's what, why we come to meet again.
Let's close the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the conversation, for the discussion today, for the sharing, for the fellowship, for the love. We hope that somebody seeing this through video or otherwise might be able to connect some of these dots as well and begin to participate in the grace and understand our understanding of the mystery and how we're placed into Christ and all the joy that we have. If people are out there wrestling with the angst, and if somebody here is wrestling with the angst, let it go. Let the finished work of Christ do it. Stop fighting religion. Stop fighting the history you grew up with. Stop fighting the wrongness that is Satan, that the world is full of. Instead, accept the truth, which will set you free, which will cure the angst, which will place you in Christ in the finished work that God has done. We ask that everybody get an opportunity this week to share this with somebody in some way, in some fashion. Plant a seed and see where it goes from there. But share the love of Christ with others as ambassadors in your name. Amen.